Hi, welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. I come before you today with another thing that I've been pondering, and that is this concept. The concept is, when we look at the scriptures, we can see some themes that begin to develop. Just like I talked about last time or an episode before, about there seems to be this theme of priesthood that the Father wanted to develop a line of priest all along in his people, and he kept kind of having to change his plan based upon what we gave him and what we are willing to do. And another theme that I see is that the law is what I was brought up in traditional church taught me, that the law was bad. Okay, and first off, it's a mistranslation, because what that word should be was that the Torah. And so then, well, what is the Torah? Well, that's the instruction book, the Bible, the scriptures. So that doesn't make sense. People, you know, in the Christian church would not really say, or in the Christian world would not really say, scriptures are bad. That's what that's talking about. But in reality, that's what the Torah is. The Torah is the instructions, God, the loving instructions from the Father to his children, basically. So in the Torah, as I've been walking in this for a little while, I see the value to knowing the source text, because the source text especially is the beginning, the first five books. And if you know those first five books, you understand the major and minor prophets. You understand why they do what they do, why they say what they say. It becomes clear. And so there's one theme that you see is there's a cyclical pattern. You know, people come into relation, Yahuwah calls them out of where they are. A lot of times they have to leave, they have to change their people, their playmates, their places, and their things, and completely relocate to a new group of people, new place, start all over. He's called them out. By the way, Hebrew means one who has crossed over. So he asks people to cross over from pagan ways, come into his new understanding. So we see that many people had to do that. And then once they crossed over, you know, their children, well, we know what happens. They fall away, unfortunately. They choose badly in whom they marry. They marry people that take them away from Yahuwah, that take them away from the Word, that take them away from their faith. And so that, you know, and so each generation drifts further and further away. So if you will, imagine a point of origin on a line graph for your geometry. If any of you took geometry, you start at the point of origin, which is 0, 0 in the crosshairs, basically. And each generation that comes by, they move that point of origin just a little bit, you know, to the right, to the left, or up and down. Each generation seems to move it just a little bit more. And by the way, I stole this from Torah Family and Steve Mutria. He had a little thing about this where he drew a graphic like that. And each successive generation moves that truth line just a little bit, and pretty soon the truth is so watered down, so confused, so far away from what it originally began, it's not even recognizable. And people hit rock bottom. And before they hit rock bottom, the prophets come along and warn them and say, turn to burn! Repent! The end is near. And every time a prophet comes along, the people often, you know, go, man, that guy's crazy. I'm not doing that. That's too hard. That's just crazy. And a lot of times the prophets, they tried to kill him. It just usually ended up badly. It's a pretty tough job to be a prophet. So eventually they have to hit rock bottom. They hit rock bottom. They become captive. You know, really bad things happen. And they eventually get the lesson and begin to cry out for the Father. He hears them and he rescues them, restores them, and, you know, calls them out to cross over. And the cycle continues and repeats. So you have that part of the story being cyclical. The other part of the story that's cyclical is there's this pattern that when we look at the New Testament and we look at the words that Yeshua says, what we see is that he takes the scripture one step further. So when we have scripture that says, you've heard it said, you know, don't murder, he basically comes along and goes, yes, that's true. You know, so back up a step. You know, the Bible tells us that he came to fulfill the law. Well, the word fulfill, a lot of people don't really think about just how simple that word is. If you and I enter a contract together and we are to fulfill that contract, what does that mean? If we fulfill that contract, that means that we are doing, I'm doing my part, you are doing your part. That's what fulfill means. Okay, huh. So when Yeshua says, I came to fulfill the law, guess what? Every time you see that, you can take out the word fulfill, if you would like, and you can insert the word do. Because it pretty much means the same thing. He's saying, I came to do the Torah. Came to do the law. Kind of puts a different spin on it. But the thing that's cyclical is his words. And when he comes along, you know, let me go back to what I was saying. You know, he said, you heard it said, do not murder. And he's basically confirming that. He's not making a new command. He's not changing it. He's basically restating what's been stated before. And he takes it a step further. He goes to a deeper meaning. Because after all, we've been hearing as humankind, we've been hearing these same words probably since Adam, a version of them. And it's about time we learned a few things. And he wants us to go deeper. And he says, you know, if you just call someone raka, or empty-headed, or stupid, you've committed murder in your heart. He also talks about how you've heard it said before, do not commit adultery. And he's like, yes, of course, do not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, if you look at another person with lust in your heart, you've already done it. You know, and these moments are moments in which they're, you know, there's crickets in the audience. You can hear the pen crash to the floor. And their jaws are dropped and they're in silence. And they're just like, oh my gosh. Crazy. So with that's a pattern with Yeshua. He takes these commandments to another level. Well, let's look at Paul for a minute. In Romans 2:23 says, you take such great pride in Torah, do you? By disobeying the Torah, dishonoring Yahuwah. As it says in the Tanakh, for it is better that God's name is blasphemed by the Goyim. For the circumcision is indeed of value if you do what Torah says. But if you're a transgressor of Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if I am uncircumcised, man keeps the righteous requirements of the Torah. Won't the uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? So I'll stop right there, and that's just a passage for sure that you should spend some time in, go back and read, and think about what it's saying there. But in my words, what he's saying is, it's a deeper level. It's not just a flesh thing. The flesh is just a surface thing. You know, obeying the commandments, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the feast, those are easy. Those are things done in the flesh. It's very easy to do. When it comes to what he's talking about here, this is a mind thing. This is a heart thing. This is what you want to do changing and doing it for the right reasons. You know, the circumcision of the heart. You know, it's not a physical outward sign that you can see for all to, you know, that you can display for all to see. It's something displayed by what comes out of your heart. And it's a deeper meaning. So, once again, it takes something that was written on the surface level and takes it to a new level of understanding. And basically saying, you know, it's all rubbish. You know, you can do whatever in the physical. And, you know, in the Christian side, growing up in traditional churches, you know, it's basically like saying, you know, just because you're there every time the doors are open and every time the plate comes around, you pass money into it. A lot of people feel like they're good. That makes them a good Christian. What makes you a good Christian is that you do those things, that you tithe, that you go to church. And if you're a really good Christian, you do Bible class. And really good, you go on Wednesday night. That's how you know you're really good. You don't want to be like those people that only show up Christmas and Easter. You don't want to be like those heathens. So there are a lot of people that kind of look at it that way. But he's saying, you know, these deeds that you do, these works that you do in the flesh, it doesn't mean anything if you don't have your heart right. And so a lot of people accuse us in walking down this path, saying we want to be legalistic. We want to be, you know, go back under the law and make it about works. No, no, no. We read the whole Bible together from the beginning to end. And you see, especially towards the end of the book, he is saying the same things he's always said. For there is that scripture that says, I, the Lord, do not change. And either that's true or it isn't. And so I believe it's true. And most of you would all say, yes, that's true. He doesn't change. He's the same. And so he laid down this foundation at the beginning. And then towards the end, he's basically like, man, you guys have been doing this for thousands of years. It's time to step up your game. You know, this is bigger. And so we live in a day and time which we have the internet, we have the Bible, we have amazing tools at our fingertips. We have the original languages translated, any kind of direction, different, all kinds of things we can look up. We can Google in just a few minutes, find out all kinds of things. I highly recommend the Blue Letter Bible, by the way, for going back to the source text. So, there is no excuse for us. And I believe in the end judgment, those of us that are literate and live in this free and free open Western societies, I think he's going to ask, and he expects a lot of us. He expects that we've moved beyond the milk, that we are to the meat. And I believe the meat is having a circumcised heart and having a heart that is of the Father. So just some things to think about, definitely worth examining. Go check it out. Romans chapter 2, starting about 23 to the end of the chapter there. Go look at it, and look at it through the lens of how Paul is taking this to another level. This is not saying, you know, he's not saying, you've heard it said before, friends, that you must be circumcised to enter the kingdom of heaven. And without being circumcised, you cannot enter the gates of heaven. And now I am saying circumcision is completely invalid. No more. He's not saying that, but people take it to mean that. But he is just saying there is more to these physical acts, more to the stuff you read in the Torah. It's about the heart. So the simple level is the physical, yes. But the overarching thing that he really wanted us to get was about how we needed to change. We needed to change as people and not do what we want to do. That's hard. Because we live in a culture, we live in a society that says, man, if it feels good, do it. If it's fun, do it. If you want to, do it. I got freedom. I can do whatever. There is freedom in Christ. Really? Some people take that pretty crazy. And I think we need to be real careful as we examine Scripture. And I encourage you to search the Scripture, read these things, look it up, see if I'm right. We got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to continue to encourage you to read your Bible, be a Berean, search, study. Thanks for listening to Shabbat Lounge.